Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. Philippians, chapter 1, and we'll begin in verse 10. Philippians, chapter 1, verse 10 reads this way. It says, "That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ," listen to this, "being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And Lord, knowing that where two or three are gathered there in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we ask your blessing on us tonight, your people. And Lord, each one that's here tonight, open up our hearts and minds that we might hear and understand your word. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply, "Being Filled with the Fruits of Righteousness." Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Here the Apostle Paul reveals God's daily will for every believer. Let's not just take them for eternal life. Let's take them for everyday life that we might enjoy the very presence and blessings of God, not just on Sunday and Wednesday night, but every day for the rest of our life and until we enter into eternal life. And so tonight I just want to focus in on three thoughts. First of all, Paul is writing by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he's wanting to reveal this daily will of God for every believer. And so we want to see that he addresses all saints. So the first thought is going to be to all saints, this is God's will. Not only that, but it's also God's will that we have the fellowship of the gospel. We'll take a look at that. That'll be the second thought, the fellowship of the gospel. And lastly, we'll look at Paul's prayer. So let's look at verse 1, and we're only going to look at these first 11 verses tonight. But let's consider verse 1. Notice what it says here. "Paul and Timotheus," or Timotheus, however you'd like to say that, "the servants of Jesus Christ." Now, listen, to all saints. So this letter, this epistle is written to all saints, not just to the Philippian believers, but to all saints for all time and that will ever be in existence. This is penned down in the Word of God for all believers to understand these important truths that Paul was writing through the Holy Spirit to all of God's people. So he says to all saints in Christ Jesus, not to all saints that are just caught up in religion, not to all saints that just have formality, and just not to all saints that have self-righteousness, but to all saints who've been saved by the grace of God and who are looking to the grace of God to walk with him. Because some people, listen, some people have this mentality: well, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven and that's all I need. Well, I hope so. I hope you're saved. But listen, if you've really tasted and experienced the grace of God Almighty, I would think you'd want a little bit more. Amen? I think that would just whet your appetite for the beginning of more good things to come from the Lord. And so here he is, he's saying to all saints in Jesus Christ, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, he says this, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." So he's addressing all saints. He's wanting them to know that this is intended for all believers. And he's saying, I want you to have the grace of God. I want you to have the peace that comes from God to enjoy everything that the Lord Jesus Christ paid for. Listen, don't miss out on anything. Sometimes, listen, people don't realize that certain things are included, right? You like that saying? All these things are included when you purchase something. Oh, that's included. Oh, well, I like that. That even makes my purchase even better than what I thought. And God has included many things for the believer to enjoy. He says this, verse 3, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." That's important. This is the Apostle Paul saying, I am encouraged by your faith. See, listen, it's important that believers understand that God didn't save us to just be individual churches by ourselves. God puts us together into his church that we might be unified together to encourage one another. Do you think there was ever a time in Paul's life where he needed encouragement? Do you think he ever had difficulties that he needed to know? You know what? Listen, there are those believers at Philippi. Boy, I can praise the Lord for them.
And by the way, do you ever think that the believers at Philippi ever needed encouragement? This letter is coming to them to encourage them in the grace of God. So this is to all saints. And then secondly, I want you to notice this fellowship of the gospel. Look at verse 4 with me. Always in every prayer of mine, he says, for you all, making request with joy, listen to this, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. God says, you know, as soon as the first day you got saved, you were brought into the fellowship of the gospel. And of course, the word gospel is the good news of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been brought into that same fellowship with the Apostle Paul. Please listen, the Apostle Paul, was he somebody special other than just a child of God? Listen, there was nothing special in him. In fact, anything that you would consider that was special in him, he said, you know what I did with all those things? I took them and threw them in the trash heap. Because those things without Jesus Christ are nothing. Listen, the things of this world are passing away, and the only great value, the pearl of great price that would cause somebody to sell everything they have and buy it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight, Paul is reminding them that we have this fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. So, and then I want you to take notice as we consider this, the performance of the work. So sometimes we look at this, we go, oh, I got this fellowship of the gospel. I know what the Bible says about salvation. I know what the Bible says about God's people being holy because he's holy. But that just sounds like a lot of work, doesn't it, you? I mean, being holy, that's a hard thing to do, isn't it? Listen, I'll be the first one to tell you, I cannot be holy. There is nothing. I have no righteousness without the shed blood of Christ being applied to my account. See, people misunderstand that. Oh, here's what somebody who doesn't know Jesus says. Oh, so you think you're better than me. Who said that? I never said that. In fact, listen, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd have nothing. And so the only thing I have is the payment that was paid for me by the Lord Jesus Christ to give me eternal life. I have nothing. You know what I'm dependent upon? The righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know why I will ever have do you know why I even have the attention of God? Because of the Son of God and what he did for me. Do you know why I have eternal life? Not because I'm good, but because Jesus Christ is good. There's none good but God. And so we thank the Lord for that. And so here as we consider this, God says, I want you to be holy. I've got some things for you in your life that you can receive. And so if you're receiving it, if somebody's giving you something, are you doing something for it? No. They want to give that to you. The problem is we get a misunderstanding and think, oh, I've got to work for that. And here's I look at something of great price, right? Man, that's awfully expensive. I can't afford that. I can't afford that. So I'll never have it. And if we live life like that, instead of realizing, guess what? That what you're looking for has already been paid for. The righteousness of God for the believer has been completely purchased, and you've been placed. You didn't place yourself there. God has placed you into his program. So let's consider this program here. Ready? Look at verse 6. Being confident. This is God's program. I don't have confidence in myself. I mess up. I do. I make mistakes. And so he says, being confident. How can we do this? How can we have this confidence? Being confident of this very thing. Listen to this. That he, that's God, which hath begun a good work in you, will what? Perform it. Who's going to do the work in your life? Not you, not me, but God. The world has no clue. The world has no... And listen, here's a sad state of affairs. A lot of believers don't even take God at his promise. They're afraid. They're afraid because they have no faith. Their faith is small. And they forgot who... Listen, it's the same Savior that saved you is the one that says, I've got great and mighty things to show you. You just have to approach me. You just have to have the same amount of faith that you took to trust me as your Savior, come to me and let me show you some things. He says, being confident of this very thing that he, this is Paul, remember? He says, hey, listen, I want you to know I'm writing this to all saints. That's us tonight too, right? God is wanting you to know personally by the hand of Paul what he's given already to all saints. He purchased it and he's going to work it out in your life. All you have to do is believe it. That's all we have to do is just believe it. So notice this, being confident, verse 6, of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you will perform it for 60 days, and then there's no more guarantee. Is that what it says? He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Do you know what that day is? The day you see him face to face. And then it's all fulfilled. So get this, ready? Be ye holy. Experience the grace of God in your life is not up to you or me. See? Because if it was, it's too daunting of a task. It's too overwhelming. It's like looking at that would frighten us if we think it was up to us. And we love the Lord enough to even bother trying. But that won't suffice because the object that we're looking at is the wrong thing. It's a great price. But if we look at it as Jesus already paid it, purchased it. Not only that, he's given it. And he is working. Listen, part of that working process is this message tonight to the believers in the book of Philippians. I didn't put it there. Don't look at me as if this like, well, that's pretty smart. No, yeah, it is, but it's coming from the Lord. Amen? The Lord just opened up my eyes to see it. The world can't see it. I can look at what God has done for all saints. And so as we consider this, he's the one that performs this work. And then notice what Paul says, just in case you get to thinking a lot about Paul. We have a tendency to do that. I've done that. Oh, that's Paul. That's the Apostle Paul. I used to think that as a new Christian. Oh, look at what Paul says. I'm nothing without Jesus. It's Jesus in me that's the hope of glory. So look at verse 7. Even as it is meet, it's a help for me to think this of you all. Paul says, man, do you know that it helps me to think that God has begun a work, that he's going to perform the same work that he's doing in me is the same work that God wants to work out in your life. And Paul says, do you know what blesses my heart? But listen, what if the Philippian believer said, oh, well, I don't believe that. Do you think that would bless the Apostle Paul's heart? Or would he say, oh my goodness, you're going to miss it then. You're going to miss what God has in store for you. And so Paul is saying, even as it meet, it's a help for me to think this of you all because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds, and listen to this, in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of what? My grace. Paul's grace. You and I have been given the same grace that Paul has. So just in case we think, well, that was some special power. Now, the calling, the apostleship, yes, that was unique to Paul, but everything else is the same thing that God has given to us. Same thing. You'll never find that God says, okay, you're on your own. Hope you fare well. You'll never find that. In fact, he says, don't rely on your strength. Don't rely on your understanding. Look to who? God. Look to the Lord. Because the moment you start looking at yourself, you're in trouble. In fact, the truth is, if you've messed up, I can tell you this, you weren't looking to the Lord. How do you know that, Brother George? I really wish you wouldn't ask. Because I've messed up. And I love the Lord. And I know you love the Lord or you wouldn't be here. And so, even if we love the Lord, God says, I love you, but I won't share my glory with you. Until you understand it's coming from me, you can't have it. It's already paid for. I've already given it to you, but until you understand where it's coming from and who's giving it to you, I can't share it with you. That's just as plain and simple. You have it. It's there. It's accessible. But our approach and our thinking will hinder us from receiving it. So notice this. He says again, verse 7, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. So we are all partakers of the grace of God, of the gospel that was given to Paul is the same gospel, is it not, that God gave to us? Is it not the same? Have you been given something different? You're not going to find that here in the Word of God. Verse 8, notice this. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels or in the love of Jesus Christ. You have been given the love of the Son of God. The love, you have His love. You are greatly loved. How do I know that? Because God gave us His Son. Lastly, I want to just take a few moments here and look at verses 9, 10, and 11 and look at Paul's prayer. Ready? Verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound a little bit. Somewhat. What's it say? What? That your love may abound more and more. Now listen. Your love is not really your love. What, Brother George? All right, here it is. Ready? Your love that God's talking about is in you that comes from God. That's the love He's talking about, because the love that we have by ourselves is selfish. It's selfish. But the love that we have that comes from the Lord can love our enemies. The love that we have that comes from the Lord is looking to honor and glorify Him. And that's how we are vindicated as the children of God, by the love that you have one toward another. Even the world. When the world does us wrong and we show them the love of God, they're scratching their heads. They may not say it, but they'll walk away saying, "What was that?" Because here's what the world says, ready? Mine. And if you get in my way, you just better watch out. You just look at me cross. That's the world. But the love of God lays our life down. And you mean, Brother George, that the world would even take advantage of us and that would still honor and glorify the Lord? What did they do to Jesus? And He laid His life down. You don't think God, listen, we rest in the beloved of God. His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our rest is in Him, and we don't have to fight. We just need to have the love of God. By the way, listen to this. This is His prayer. This I say, verse 9, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge and in all judgment. God's judgment. In other words, the way God said we ought to live, right? And so we consider what God is saying, and we know, the first thing we know is, I can't do that. But what we need to realize is it's Jesus Christ in verse 6 that is going to, that He's begun this work and will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. All you have to do is exercise trust. That's all it is. What's trust? Right? Trust. If you tell somebody, listen, you can trust me. You can trust me. And they say to you, I can't. Well, they just called you a liar. And that would be a little offensive, wouldn't it? If you said, you can trust me, and they say, no, you can't trust that person, wouldn't that be a little bit offensive? God is saying, you can trust me. A little bit different when we look at it that way, isn't it? You can trust me. I've done this, and I will do it. And you go, maybe for Paul, but I don't know about me. We don't realize, listen, you can't just take salvation and no more of Jesus Christ. You can't do that and honor the Lord. You're fooling yourself, and you will give an account for burying the great treasure, the talents that God has given to you in Jesus. We will give an account. We can't just say, well, you know, that's for those crazy Christians. We're all supposed to be peculiar, right? All right, ready? Look at verse 10. That ye may approve things that are excellent. Only the things in God are excellent. That ye may be sincere. That means without wax, no deception. So if you remember back during the time of Paul's day, they had people that sold porcelain wares, vases or vases, however you want to call them. And sometimes in the heating process, those pots would crack. And people that were selling their wares in another place or something like that maybe would fill it in with wax. You couldn't see it until you took it home and they were gone. That as soon as you heated that thing up a little bit, or as soon as it was on a hot day, it would spring a leak that it always had. And so when God is saying sincere, that you're not a deceiver, that you're not portraying yourself to be whole and solid, you know, you don't put on your airs of what you're not all the time. And so God says, he says, I want to do this so that you can be the genuine article. Listen, God doesn't want us to put up a front. God wants to do a work that will glorify himself and bring light. He didn't say you have to manufacture the light. Didn't Jesus say, I'm the light of the world? Didn't he say, I'm the salt? He said, I'm not going to make myself. I am the salt. I am the light. And didn't he say, you're the light of the world? Didn't he say, you're the salt of the world? He's not saying that you've got to manufacture it. He says, I'll do that. Verse 11. In fact, let's look at verse 10 real quick, and then we'll finish with verse 11. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. I didn't say it. Can you trust Jesus? That ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. You won't offend, not the world. You're going to offend the world with the love of God. But you won't offend the name of Christ. And if you're failing right now, I promise you, you're not looking to the Lord. I know that because that's what happens when I fail. I'm looking to myself. I've forgotten the battle for the moment. I've gotten caught up in myself and took my eyes off the Lord. And then I begin to sink. But listen, that's not the place for the believer. God says, I'm going to do work till the end. Till the day of Christ. Again, he says it in verse 10. Verse 11, listen. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. That's in the continual tense. So you don't run out. You're being filled. That's good, isn't it? Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by your hard work and efforts and dedication and rededication and rededication, which are by Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, love, gentleness, kindness, right? All the fruits, not just some of them, not just the ones that I think I'm good at, all of them. Do you know why? Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, because they are by who? By Jesus Christ. And then if they're by Jesus Christ, guess what they do? They bring him glory and praise of God. In other words, when we see that, it's not God praising, it's us praising and glorifying the Lord. The world sees a testimony, a witness of the life-changing power of God. Forget about those that are not walking with the Lord. Let the world point at them. They're hypocrites. And they're, you know what they're doing? They're just excusing themselves. It won't wash when they stand before God. But let's not us do the same who've tasted the grace of God. Let's us seek the Lord with how much of our hearts? All of our hearts. All of our mind. All of our soul. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Listen to this. Which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Let me say this and we're done. Ready? In verse 11, here's what you find. Every believer can be in the place of being filled in the continual tense with the fruits of righteousness. Then Paul reveals that the fruits are by who? Not us. By Jesus Christ. And then last, in that verse there, you go back and look at verse 11. Paul reveals... Correction, it is Paul, intertwined with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals that they are to the glory and praise of God. That is, that the believer is brought to the place of bringing God glory and praise for the gift unspeakable and full of glory. I can't do that. Now listen, can we trust the Lord? to do what I didn't say it, just in case. Listen, get me out of the way. That's God's word. God said it. Don't trust me. I'm flesh and blood. I'll fail you. Don't believe me. Ask my wife. She'll tell you I make mistakes. But God never makes mistakes. God will fulfill if we'll say, yes, Lord, listen, not I want to do that, but Lord, I'm asking you to do it in me. And watch, when you approach the Lord for, I didn't say it. You can look at me all day long, but I'm telling you, I didn't say it. I would have never in a million years come up with this one. Only God. And he says, if you'll come to me and ask me to do what I've already promised, if you'll trust me to fulfill what I've already said I would do, we're not asking God to do anything new. And yet it will all be brand new. Whew. What a life God has in store for those who trust him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and your power that can overcome anything, Lord. And we can trust you in that. Bless as we break off for prayer. And Lord, give us a heart to prove you and to call upon you to do and fulfill the promises you've already given in our lives. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.